Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is David Martin. Welcome again, David.
Thank you, Father.
As we begin, let's first pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, let your light shine upon the darkness of our hearts and of our lives, that we may be overwhelmed by your generous gifts this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So, David, we have been talking about how really we live this life as disciples. And from your story, just kind of you seeing the witness of your parents, I think your mother going to daily Mass in the evenings and kind of being revived mm-hmm. by that. And I think from your own experience with the Eucharist, how important has the Mass, let's just start with the Mass.
Sure.
And going to Mass, how important has it been in your walk?
Yeah, I think it's vital. For me, it's been vital. And the older I've gotten as I matured as a young man and then went on from there, the more that I've taken the time to actually think about what we're doing in the Mass, the more powerful it's become. I think that's a key element is you can't just sit there passively and get the same experience out of the Mass as you have the opportunity to get if you invest in it. And I remember one time, my brother-in-law is a wonderful guy. He's an evangelical, and he was with me at Mass, and we were saying the Nicene Creed, and I was concentrating and trying to say it, you know, thinking about each word. And when we were done, he looked at me and said, "Wow, I've never heard anybody say it like that before." He goes, "You made me want to think about it." And it was, you know, not a compliment to me, but a reminder that, you know, these words are real if you're willing to actually engage them.
You know, the Second Vatican Council, the document on the liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium, mm-hmm. it talks about actual participation. Now, some people mistranslate the Latin. The Latin's actually actuosa, which is actual, but they translate it as active. So that people think, oh, I've got to do something in order to participate at Mass. But it's actual participation, which means a full-hearted, you know, where we lay it all out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like even in a sports game, mm-hmm. you might not be active, mm-hmm. but you can still lay it all out, you know?
Yeah. In fact, funny you say that. My best friend, he can recall a specific football game in every play. Now, we were in the stands mm-hmm. in college, but he was very active in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't one of the players. He wasn't on the field, but he was completely engaged.
Excellent. And, you know, that's a beautiful image. And I think that idea then of really participating in it, one of the, you know, we've all experienced this, the COVID pandemic and our
yeah.
separation from it. One of the questions I think that emerges from that is the obligation to attend Mass.
Yeah.
So, you know, we know that the church has placed this obligation upon us to go to every Sunday and holy day of obligation.
Right.
During the pandemic and subsequent months, there was a dispensation. But, you know, we still have the third commandment to take holy the Sabbath.
Right.
And the first commandment to worship only the Lord our God.
Right.
So I guess, how do you live this obligation to Mass? Do you see it just as a legalistic, like, oh, I have to go there?
Yeah, I tend to think of the obligation as we're obliged to take advantage of this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've never viewed Mass, and maybe again because of the witness of my parents and the adults I grew up around and people I've come to know throughout my life, lay people, priests, they had a joy about the Eucharist. So I've never had, I mean, I look forward to it. And I was crushed when we couldn't go to the Eucharist, you know, as communion, as people together during this COVID time, because it means so much to me. I'm very fortunate, by God's grace only. As far as I know, I've never missed a Sunday Mass because, you know, my parents are very intentional and God's provided since then. And I found odd situations where I may not make it, but I always ask God, can you get me there? And God always open the door if I just asked him. Now, if it hadn't happened, I mean, God wouldn't be any more less loving. But mm-hmm. the truth is, you gotta ask. And during the COVID time, my wife Michelle and I, made sure that we and the kids had Mass at home, and we tried to be intentional. So we set up our living room in a special way. We had a little altarpiece. We brought that down on the table. We put some rosaries out. We tried to make a setting that was holy. And then we actually dialed into the Mass from the Basilica in Washington, D.C., only because it was set up a lot like the Mass that the kids would be familiar with a celebrant, concelebrant, servers, a choir. And we all entered into it. We had Magnificats with the order of the Mass. We printed those out, so we all had a copy. We took up our own collection. So we tried to make it as real of a celebration. It was a real celebration, but we tried to make it as close to being in communion in church as we could, other than we had to make a spiritual communion rather than to receive our Lord in his body and blood.
That's beautiful.
And the kids loved it, by the way. They loved it. In fact, so much that my older children asked and insisted that we watch the Last Supper Mass, that we celebrate the Last Supper Mass online, that we celebrate Good Friday online, and that we celebrate the Easter Vigil and Easter morning online. And they wanted that.
Wow.
So it's not like kids can't get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think emphasizing also the positive value that we get from the Mass rather than just the obligation to
absolutely
do this.
I mean, you're missing so much. You know, we're really called to filial love, not servile fear.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Well, you know, as Jesus says, you know, you know, up to this point, I have called you slaves, you know, disciples, but now I call you friends.
I mean, it's good news. It's like, it's amazing. And, when I listen to Dan Demattei and Aaron Richards on Beyond Damascus, they've got a palpable joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're about. We're joyful. We have the best news in the world. Why would we hide it? And for heaven's sake, why would we deny our children that?
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me is David Martin. We've been talking about the Eucharist, first kind of emphasizing the Mass, and, you know, I think we're all kind of excited to get back to Mass after the COVID break. But specifically, I think the grace of receiving communion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, spiritual communion is not the ideal, nor is it really sufficient in some sense. You know, we really want Jesus came into the world physically, and he remains in the world physically in the Eucharist, and we want to receive him, you know. So I think, what are kind of the strength that you receive, or maybe the peace that you receive from communion?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll say this, during COVID we couldn't have physical communion. And there have been a few times in my life where I just didn't feel like I was in the right state of grace, and I abstained from communion. And the blessing, God always brings grace in any situation, even if it's because of our own brokenness or the brokenness of the world. The blessing of those moments, and even COVID, was to realize the longing to be with God and thinking, well, I'm not completely at the Lord's table. I don't want an eternity like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want an eternity where I'm at the Lord's table fully. And so that was actually a blessing, just to be reminded in different ways of the importance of being in complete communion with our Lord. To me, communion is strength. It is nourishment. I do find, once I've received Holy Communion, that I have a deeper, just like with confession, that I do feel a deeper relationship with our Lord. I mean, palpably, not always, but often, palpably a sense of being more intimate and closer to the Lord. So to me, communion is very real. And I think, again, you know, you say, well, how do you get that? I do go back. It starts early, or if you're blessed, it starts early. And if you're blessed, it starts with parents. And I say this to myself as a parent, as well as to other parents. My parents, it was very clear that the Eucharist was something different and important. It was clear in the way they lived their lives and the way that they helped us to live ours. And I'll give one little example. I had made my first communion in May when I was 8 years old, and I was finishing second grade. And later, in early June, it was still just the beginning of summer, and we were getting ready to go to Sunday Mass, and we were going to the 10 o'clock Mass. There's an 8, 10, and noon Mass at my parish, St. William's, growing up. And Right before we were literally about to head out the door, I was hungry. I was in the kitchen. I put my hand into a box of cereal, and I grabbed a bunch of cereal because I was hungry. Well, I hadn't developed the habit yet of remembering my fast time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my parents right away. I realized what I had done. I mean, I just made my first communion like 3 weeks before. And I said to my parents, I made a mistake. I ate some cereal. I don't have my fast time anymore. And they looked at me, and they could have said one of three things, I realized. They could have said, well, don't worry about it. Just go to communion anyhow. Or they said, could have said, well, let's, you know, don't just come on with us and just don't go to communion. They didn't. We had like light coats on. It was a cool day. They immediately took their coats off and they said, well, that's all right. We'll just go to the noon mass. And so they shifted the whole day around. But they were saying to me, look, it's important enough that, look, this is the priority. And we're totally fine with reordering our day so that we can all have the Eucharist.
And, you know, that brings up an important kind of catechetical point is, you know, going to mass, it's not essential for us to receive communion.
Right.
You know, so for instance, if we're in mortal sin, we
right.
should not receive communion. If we haven't observed the fast, we should not receive communion. I think so often it's just about, well, I have to do this. Or, you know, again, it's this sort of kind of just blind legalism or blind kind of enslavement. But also I think, you know, that some people will speak about the communion just being like a commodity that I just, you know,
oh yeah,
just to get it. So
no, yeah, it was always for us a source of joy.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, to end on that note, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we thank you for the great gift, the greatest gift of Jesus Christ, especially his presence to us in the Eucharist. Strengthen and renew our love and trust in him. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And you have been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been David Martin. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Father. Pleasure.
And until next time, peace and all good.